Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
You know, what's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, and after a half a day of rest, the Badger got tired of hearing me beat up on everybody, but I got him back, and I got to beat up on somebody else, and especially because they put me, as you remember last week, I went on Maria's show and had my Bubba for president. And she said, you mean Bill and Hillary? I said, no, I mean me. I'm Bubba, right? So, anyways.
Yeah, well, he was called Bubba, incidentally.
Yes, he was. But I'm the Bubba. I just can't help it that he was, you know, that he was more famous than I was. But hopefully.
A little more, but not much.
No, hopefully I'll become president and then I'll be famous just like him. But so, you know, how do the Clintons avoid everything? And you know, we know things, you know, this goes back, you know, we talk about certain things that most people wouldn't even think about, and not because they just wouldn't know, it wouldn't make sense, but we picked up on, you know, the Madoff deal right away, all those little securities things. We knew before the news ever came out, we said exactly what was going to come out, and of course it did. And of course, you know, back in the day, Clinton Hillary was trading some cattle. And of course, you know, we know how those markets were, you know, back then. They weren't quite as informative. And of course, you know, everything wasn't quite as transparent as it is now. And things happened, but they always had rules. And somehow, Hillary Clinton was able to circumvent the rules to line her pockets with a lot of cash. You want to take us through the story?
Yeah, it's an interesting story, and a lot of people have heard it. There's a lot of rumors around this. The rumor is that Hillary put up $1,000 in 1979. To trade cattle, and she collected, she ended up with $100,000 in 1980. All of those things are very accurate, but the whole story, you have to hear the whole story of how it happened. If you don't understand the way futures work, it's not like buying a stock on margin. As an example, and I'm going to try and make it as simple as possible. Let's say that you want to trade a NASDAQ. You want to trade the NASDAQ in the futures market. And the value of the NASDAQ contract is what, Bubba, $45,000 now, the mini?
Yeah. The NASDAQ is $45,000, right.
Yeah, $45,000. Okay, now if that was actually a stock, and let's say we're going to call the NASDAQ a stock, if you could get Reg T, which means you would have to put up roughly $22,000. If you had a little more leverage and you were day trading, you might only have to put up $10,000. So your $10,000 would control the $45,000 position, and you would have what we call 4-to-1 leverage. Just as an example, when Lehman Brothers blew out, they had 44-to-1 leverage. So the market doesn't have to go far against you when you have that kind of leverage. But the difference is, in the futures market, you don't have to put up that kind of money. If you're trading the NASDAQ future, you've got to put up $2,900 to control $45,000. And then your leverage gets, it's exponential. Because if the NASDAQ goes up by, let's say, 5%, your money that you put up, your $2,900, it went up by, $2,000. You get 100% or 95% return on your money. So that's how the leverage works. So anyway, there's rules, though. There's rules. Everything has rules. And the Clintons, as anybody who's followed their political career or anything thought about their business career, they seem to have their own rules, and they follow those rules. Now, at that time, Hillary was representing some cattle interests in the state of Arkansas, and she was trading through a branch. I believe it was, Springfield? Where was that? I think it was in Springfield, Arkansas. Yeah, Springfield, Arkansas. And that branch was run by a guy named Robert Bones Lee. And he was his last name was Bones. I think it was Robert Lee Bones.
Robert Lee Bones. That's a good Southern name from Arkansas.
Oh, man. Yeah. You know, it's a good thing that's not connected with Earl Lee, or you'd have a mass murder. Anyway, so he ran the deal for this business in Arkansas, and he was the one that was placing trades for her. She, in turn, put up $1,000, and they had a few winning trades. She did have some losing trades, incidentally. And here's the thing. When she had losing trades, Refco, which is her clearing firm, Tom Detmer, who later got bounced, when they had losing trades, Hillary was not required to put up the margin. Refco put up the margin for her.
Now, nice of Refco.
But let me ask you a question, huh?
Isn't that nice of Refco?
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. What's the chances when you were clearing Shatkin that if a gigantic trade went against you and you didn't have enough margin to begin with, what's the chances that you could continue to trade?
Only if I avoided the principal's office in the morning to get my statement so that I before I could go down to the floor. You know, the defense they had in those days, you know, we kid around a lot about it, but, you know, now obviously they do everything so quickly that you can't hold your card so long, so they know what's going on right away. But when we were trading, the only way they could control you is they'd look at your statement every night. And, right. And when you came in, you know, because obviously before 24-hour trading, I mean, this was, you know, you could come in, you know, and you could basically take down a whole clearing firm if your position was way off or too big because right. There was no trading. Right now, they can ease out of some of that if something went disastrously wrong. But there's no chance you could trade. They wouldn't let you on. We call it the shoulder tap. They'd take it down and say, either you close it or we're closing it for you. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, the tap on the shoulder. How many times have you seen guys when they got the tap when you were in the pit? You knew who the henchmen were from the clearinghouses. And when they ask, you know, your clerk would yell in, hey, RJS, so-and-so wants to talk to you about your position. You pretty much knew what they wanted to talk to you about, Bubba. There was really very little in your mind that you didn't know what they wanted. And it was the same thing. You want to trade, we need margin. Now, we can do it or you can do it. You know, you say, I'll get out of it. Don't worry. Let me take care of it. Because you didn't want the butchers to come in.
Right.
If the butchers came in, you know exactly what was going to happen to you. The butchers were just going to make sure that they weren't going broke. And they were just going to hit every bid and take every offer off your spreads to lay her out.
Right.
And that was just terrible. So the point I'm trying to get here is during her run, during the time she made this money, she didn't have any capital up. One particular trade that I was looking at, she lost $16,000, which was more than 100% in her account. And then miraculously, it came back. She also, of this $100,000, when the futures market, the cattle futures market collapsed in 1979, October of 1979, it completely collapsed. And when it did collapse, it just so happened that Hillary had contracts on that she had no margin behind. Now, today, if she did that, first of all, it couldn't happen anymore. They've taken care of all that. But the other point is that if she were involved in the same situation today, she'd go to jail. She'd be in jail. But she made $40,000 on that. And when they collapsed, the office that Robert L. Redbone, that's it, is Redbone, lost $20 million. He ended up getting barred from trading. He was fined $250,000 and barred from trading, and Refco got fined an enormous amount of money. And the reason they got fined is because they were allowing traders on the floor or retail customers, which is even worse, to trade with no margin.
Well, and of course, then Hillary went on to be such a bad beat. She went on to be first lady, but actually, it was well prior to that, but. You know, we're going to come back and tell more of this story because this stuff is true. First of all, it's true stuff. And some of it, you would think about it, you might find it in Ripley's Believe It or Not, but it is true. And it also true. This is the Bubba Show, and that the new Bubba Report is right around the corner. And if you haven't got signed up yet, you're missing probably one of the best documents out there for investors to get a good feel for what's going on. Writers like the Badger, Bonnie Pittenger, Scott Shalady, myself, Keith Bliss, Mike Brown. Really awesome stuff. You got to check it out. And also, make sure you get the Bubba Show at libertytalk.fm. Always available on demand, so you can listen to us all the time. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Orange. We'll be right back after break with more from the Badger.
Right,
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with the Badger today. So Badger, so Hillary did the typical dance and was able to somehow miraculously skate on all these issues that normal people could never do. And, you know, we both know about regulation. And, of course, you mentioned it in the last segment that they've actually, there is no way for that to ever happen again because now everything is done by automation and they lock you out. And believe me, they never give you the benefit of the doubt when they lock you out. If you get locked out early, it's just the way it goes. And there is no way around it. Whereas Hillary Clinton was able to turn $1,000 into $100,000 by doing a lot of things that nobody in the world could do but her.
Yeah, and it's true. And the part is, though, Bubba, that the traders that currently have done anything like this, frankly, they get barred, they get fined, and some of them are spending time in jail, but the Clintons got away with it. Then if you want to look at the other thing, the Whitewater scandal, you know, that was a real estate deal that was involved with their close friends, Jim and Susan McDougal. You may remember this. She actually went to prison over it, and she took the rap for him. Bottom line is that they scammed $300,000 out of this real estate deal. Now, as you well know, I was involved a little bit in real estate development. And
I'm sorry I do know that, but yes, I do know.
So fine. But anyway, it's part of my history, and I can't hide from it. I'm not going to lie about it. It wasn't one of my finest hour. But what they did is, if you know anything about real estate development, what you do is you put up money to put the property together. Then you put up what you would do is really margin. You then go out to banks or investors or whoever you want, and then you have to get money for infrastructure, which you build first. Then once you get the infrastructure built, that's your roads, that's your sewer, that's your water, that's your electricity, then you get construction loans. Then you build your real estate out, and hopefully if you sell the units off, then you're going to recover a lot of money. You're going to make a lot of money because you had a very little money invested and most of it's leveraged out. Unfortunately, it's reverse leverage too. So if the deal blows up and goes the other way on you, your leverage multiplies and it wipes you out very quickly. You don't need a big loss to wipe that out because your leverage is so big. But what the Clintons did is that they were able to get out of this Whitewater transaction. It was a development. You know, they were real estate developers. And it looked like it was going to be a great deal. It was, you know, it was on an Arkansas River, and it was just perfect for the area. Anyway, things didn't work out. Interest rates went to a jillion. They couldn't sell the properties, and the Clintons were going to go bankrupt. So they were able to get, actually, they were able to get $300,000 out of this property from the other developers, which were Jim and Susan McDougal. Eventually, the whole deal went busted, and you know, I mean, it would take me an hour to get involved with everything that happened, but they were able to skate. If you and I did this, I can guarantee you, without any doubt, we would be in prison. But the Clintons were able to get away with it. So there were two things that scandals they got away with that was absolutely, you know, they had it. Then we had Benghazi. We had Benghazi when she was Secretary of State. And I can guarantee you during the presidential campaign, the Republicans are going to pound this one beyond belief. And I'll tell you, Whitewater is going to show up again. And if the cattle deal shows up, I don't understand how the Clintons can possibly defend the cattle deal.
Well, you know, it's amazing that, and of course, you know, they seem to skate on every issue. But of course, they learned how that you know how to make money on both sides of every spread. So I guess
they were like the old belly traders.
You know, and
spread's a loser, you're ready to commit suicide.
That's right. You know, and you know, and of course, it's amazing, and we know that it's coming, and I'm sure she knows it's coming. But you know, again, I mean, he skated it the first time through with basically no problem, and of course, I mean, some of the things he's done subsequently, and there was what's her name? Not Lewinsky, the other one. There's two.
Jones.
Right, Paula Jones. Right.
Yeah, the Paula Jones, the one that he got the eventually that was the one that got him in problems because he lied about their relationship. He said he didn't have any relationship.
I had no relationship with any woman.
No, with any.
Even the man I'm married to.
Well, and then you know the famous quote. What does two mean? What's the word two? You know, what is the exact definition of the word two? I did not. I never had sex with that woman. Well, what would you define as sex? Well, I can't actually define that. You'd have to get, you know, and the crazy stuff. I mean, he is clearly, you know, they call him Slick Willie. He is clearly the slickest politician that the U.S. has had, and I can't remember. It's got to be forever. He gets away with it. The Clintons get away with it. God knows what the Clinton Foundation does. Wait till they start to investigate and what those people are doing. They made $25 million. They admit in 2014, between the two of them, they made $25 million, which is not illegal. It's fine. It's legal. But the point I'm getting at is they've been able to skate so long. Are they going to be able to skate one more time? Are they going to be able to put all this stuff under the put this stuff under again? You know, just let it go away?
You know, I don't know. I mean, the truth of the matter is on that point of view, we know, you know, we've talked about this for the last couple of days. We know what our current leader is doing to try to build the troops to continue to keep the that party in office. But I find it hard to believe that it'll be an easy skate. And I do believe that this time will be different as far as the election is concerned. I think that I don't know who's going to win, and I don't know that it won't be a Democrat. But if it's a Democrat, I don't think it will be Hillary. I think that there will be things that are going to come out that people are going to say, you know what, I just went through, I just was promised this for 8 years of this change and all this wonderful stuff, and I just went through all this stuff, and I just can't take another one. Now, I don't know, obviously I have no idea about that's going to happen. But that's my early guess as of 2015 is that she's not going to get either not going to get the nomination, or if she does, she won't win. That's just my early guess. You have any thoughts to that?
Yeah, I do. Actually, I wish that what you were saying is probably going to happen. However, since we believe in odds and probabilities, currently there's a lot of people that like to make investments in things such as this. If you've ever heard of Betfair, which is an exchange, it's a sporting exchange. Right now, Hillary's still 3-5.
Wow.
She's 3-5. To get the nomination, she's 1-30. So I have a feeling that she is going to get the nomination. And what they're saying right now is unless the Republicans can get Ronald Reagan to come back to life, they're going to have trouble beating her.
Well, if they got him to come back to life, it'd be safe as long as he's alive. You know, look at let's talk about Reagan for a minute. I mean, yeah. You know, Reagan, he wasn't the smartest guy in the world. He wasn't anything, but what he was is he was a great leader that put together a great staff that allowed him to do what he did. You know, everybody kids around used to take a nap all the time. You know, all the stories. But the bottom line is nobody put together a better staff of people that did the things they were supposed to do. And that, I think more important than anything, no matter what party you believe in, right, you would want just the right things done. Would that not be correct?
Yeah, true. And Reagan was the great communicator. There's no question about it. Whether or not he formulated all those policies doesn't matter. The point is that he worked with people that did formulate those policies, and that's the important thing. He was able to get things done. Think about what he did when the airline coordinators. Geez, I'm losing my mind. Air traffic control.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said they were going on strike. He said, "Fine, you're going to lose your jobs. I'm going to give you a week to get back on, or you're all going to lose your jobs." And what happened?
Well, you know, he took care of business like he always did. I mean,
those people lost their jobs. Then they came back and said, "Oh, wait. We
made
a
mistake.
Back.
Yeah.
We're wrong. We're sorry." But see, that's the thing with Reagan. You know, he was a great communicator, and I told you, I was fortunate enough to actually have dinner with Ronald Reagan. Now, I'm not saying it was me and Ronald Reagan. It was me.
Was he awake?
He was awake, yeah. it was me and about 100 other people at the Merck. He had come to the Merck, I think it was 19... I'm going to say it was like 19...
Hold that thought, because I want to talk a little more politics anyways. We never talk politics. So I'm going to talk. I would talk a little more when we come back. This is the Bubba Show. I'm hanging out with the Badger, and we're going to hear about Badger and dinner with Bonzo. Bonzo goes to college, but right. Actually he was a great man, and I obviously respect more what he did just about the job, not just the job. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horse. Make sure you check out the on-demand show at libertytalk.fm. It's the Bubba Show. We will be back right after the break. It's the Bubba Show.
To be cool.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the Badger, who had dinner with Ronald Reagan. No, but seriously, so I know he came to the mark, and of course you were a big, what do they call it, PAC, right? You were a big PAC affiliate or whatever. What's the formal name?
Political Action Committee.
Political Action Committee for the Merck. And of course, Ronald Reagan did come to the CME, and you did have dinner with him. And how was it? Was it enjoyable to listen to him speak and stuff?
Yeah, well, first of all, he came, and it was right near the end of his term. And I was lucky enough because I did not. I mean, Jack Sanders, Leo Malama, they took Reagan around. But I was in the entourage with him, and I was talking to his security guard. And he was retiring that day. He had been in the Secret Service for 30. This was his last day in the business. It was a Friday. He said, you're not going to believe this, but tomorrow I get in a plane and I'm done. I've retired. I'm over. 30, whatever it was, years, 30, 35 years. And I was lucky enough to be right beside him when Reagan was speaking. Reagan did a stump speech, I think he was actually in the belly pit.
Well, you know, we know about that, right?
Yeah, so yeah, we gave him a jersey. It said CME, the Gipper. You know, it had a one on it. And it was, you know, he was very gracious. And I was asking the Circuit Service guy, I said, what's Reagan like? You know, because you work for him. You're around him every day. He goes, believe it or not, he's just the guy you're seeing right there. He's a very good guy. He talked about the presidents. He couldn't say a lot about them. He said, some of them are difficult. I'm not going to tell you they weren't, but not Reagan. They said, Reagan's just the guy you see right there. And then we had dinner with him. You know, he was joking. It was about a two and a half hour dinner. And, you know, usually you have to pay for that. But because the PAC paid for it, I was lucky enough to get to see him. The only thing I regret is they wanted a $500 donation to have your picture taken with him and have it signed. And I thought, well, you know what? I've done a lot of work. I think I should just probably be able to get away with that. And I didn't. So I regret that to this day. That's one of my regrets in life, that I didn't have that picture done with Ronald Reagan. His policies were very simple. It was the same thing. We had just gone through the Carter administration, which was, as you know, a total disaster. Jimmy Carter's a brilliant man, and he's a very good man. I think Jimmy Carter is a humanitarian, and I like Jimmy Carter. But as a president, it was terrible. It was the same thing here. He's headed toward socialism. His policies were just simply that, you know, let's increase entitlements, let's do everything we can to make sure that the Democrats get more votes. He was a politician, of course, and it didn't work. Reagan was able to defeat him, and then, of course, Reagan then trounced McGovern, No, who did Reagan trounce in who did he trounce in 84? I'm losing my mind. Oh, no. Why can't I think of that? Anyway, but he won with a big majority in 84 and was a great leader. I think
he almost pitched a shutout.
He did pitch a shutout, really. I think that the country had reached a point where they could no longer handle any more socialistic policies, and it showed. Reagan turned the country around. At first, when he put his policies in, things went bad. They did not go as good as he had hoped, or a lot of other people, because it called for restraint. It called for stopping the bloated budget. It called for cutting back, and it called for business to be successful. And Reagan was able to do that. He got his policies through, so he delivered the message. I think he'll go down eventually, although a lot of people rank him up there right now. I'm sure he'll go down as one of the top 10 presidents we've ever had.
And I think deservedly so. Again, whatever party, even if you don't believe in their party, I mean, the guy did a fine job. And again, to me, it always goes back to, you know, did you do the right things? Did you get everything taken care of? And did you do what the best you could to get it done? And of course, he did, I thought, and he always did. And of course, he beat the crap out of Mondale, was the name you're looking for.
Yeah, Walter Mondale.
Mondale got tried. He almost didn't get his own home state.
Yes. No, Reagan, they were pretty, yeah.
It was 51 to 1.
It was 51 to 1. Yeah. No, Reagan pretty much won one of the biggest landslides. And then we're talking politics. I was also lucky enough to have breakfast with George Bush when he was president. So
which one?
George Bush, H.W.
Oh, well, I mean, isn't there two George Bushes?
There's two. Yeah, but H.W.,
okay.
His father, right. Who succeeded Reagan. And George Bush was an extremely, extremely interesting guy. In that particular case, I was lucky enough to be one of the ones that took him through the murk. I was one of the four or five in the front. And then we had breakfast. And it was about 60 or 70 people. But it was unbelievably interesting. Bush was very, very good, a very bright guy, talked straightforward about stuff. And I like him. I thought when he lost to Clinton, I think he made a very bad, bad mistake with Clarence Thomas. And I think that came back to haunt him. I really do. A lot of people think that Bush lost because of his read my lips, no higher taxes.
Right.
A lot of people thought that. And, of course, we had a recession. He went from being in early 1992 one of the most popular presidents of all time when we got Saddam Hussein out of Kuwait. But I think that what happened is that Anita Hill, I think he made a horrific mistake there. And that I think it got backlash, because what turned the vote around from when he won the first time to when he lost the second time was that he lost a lot of the women's vote. And if you remember that grueling hearing, the Clarence Thomas hearing, they really, really made a bad case for the woman accused Clarence Thomas of telling off-color jokes. Now, I would say, should a man not be on the Supreme Court because he told some off-color jokes? Well, I'd say no. But then Kim Jong-un killed his ex-girlfriend because she made some racy photos. I don't know. I think what happened here, you just had a backlash. I think the backlash was really from women.
It could be. And so now that we look, you know, like a little bit of forward into, you know, obviously we're coming into that wonderful election cycle where we're going to now spend, how many billions of dollars are they going to spend this year, in the next year?
The amount, it's just absolutely staggering. Okay, it is absolutely staggering the amount of money that's going to be spent on this election.
It's ridiculous. I mean,
yeah, I don't know the exact amount, but it's in the billions.
So, so now you look at the so the Democratic is, according to what we know now, or what we think we know based on how we the do logic, is going to be Hillary, right?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be Hillary. If you want to you want to look at it, because we like to talk numbers, right? We don't shy away from numbers. Let's look at what we got here. Okay, let's go, and I'm going to go to our friends, and we're going to talk about the odds to win. The Democrats are 3-5. Actually, the odds of Hillary Clinton getting the nomination are 1-30.
Right.
There's nobody running against her. The closest would probably be Joe Biden, and you know he's 55-1. As far as the election goes, if the election were to be held today, based on the Betfair exchange, and this is open betting. Now we need to explain this to people, Bubba. This is where people come in on both sides of the market. This is like open outcry. This is really a true market. Jeb Bush would be they think that Jeb Bush would be the most likely candidate for the Republicans. He's moved up tremendously. He's now 5-1. Rubio is 9-1. Christie, who was the leading, is now 20-1. Scott Walker is 9-1. And Rand Paul is 18-1. Then we start to get some really, really long shots in there.
So, but this, right.
Go on. At this point, it looks like Clinton's a shoe-in for the Democratic nomination. I'm certainly not going to lay that price. Something could happen to her. And Bush has a good lead. Bush looks like he has a good lead. Now, is that going to be good? I mean, do we want to have a third President Bush? You know the Democrats are going to harp on the dynasty. Of course, it's going to be tough for them because Clinton now would be the second Clinton. Personally, I don't think Jeb Bush would be a good candidate. I just don't think so. I don't think he'd be elected.
I don't know enough about either part of that, about him. And, you know, I mean, I know who he is. I know I like him, you know, but of course I liked his brother and I liked his father. So, but what do you think about Scott Walker?
Well, Scott Walker's a pretty straight shooting guy. He stood up to the unions, so that's for damn sure. He survived a recall. There's only been three recalls, gubernatorial recalls in history. Two of those were lost. One of them was won by Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he survived. In fact, not only did he survive in a highly, highly, highly political, political recall election, he got more votes than he did when he ran. So I think he's a good candidate. He stands for a lot. He has absolutely no background that should hurt him. I mean, there's no scandal. There's nothing. You know, he's a family man. He's always been a straightforward guy. I don't believe he actually went to college or he graduated from college. I don't think he has a college degree.
Well, I'll tell you one group that doesn't like him, and that's the poker players. They don't like him. But I'll get into that when we come back from the break. Scott Walker from Wisconsin. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And make sure you check out the latest edition of the Bubba Report. All you have to do is go to thebubbashow.org. Sign up for the Bubba Report. $99 a year gets you at least 12 episodes, at least 12 reports a year, possibly more, with the writings of the Badger, Bonnie Pittenger, losing my mind, Keith Bliss, Scott Shalady, Mike Brown, myself, and all you have to do is sign up right at the Bubba Show. We'll deliver it right to you. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
I've been feeling real good.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm with the Badger, and we've been talking a little politics and having a little bit of fun and showing how the gambling part of there's a little gambling and everything. And so Scott Walker is right now, from the Republican standpoint, is the third. But, you know, it's funny, you know, he's Wisconsin, and, you know, they have the Indian Potawatomi, the casinos in Wisconsin.
Right.
And somebody wanted to come in and, you know, manage them, and they wanted to open up in Kenosha. Okay.
Right now, across the border.
What's that?
Well, right across the border.
Right. And you know how how busy the Indiana casinos are,
right.
You know, from people running from the North Shore down there. And of course, you know, those are the, if you're going to try to get some votes, those are the right people to try to get. Right. I mean, that's where the money's at in the whole thing.
Yeah.
And of course, he voted down or prevented Potawatomi from moving to Kenosha because they were going to move into the old dog track there. But because
whatever happened to the dog check, that busted out, right?
Yeah, it busted out because it couldn't support, you know, the retirees can't support, you know, they need some action. You know, you can't run a parimutuel wagering on the dollar betters, right? You got to have some.
I remember. Well, you know, it's been so long since I lived in Chicago, Bubba. I forgot all about that. Was really, they thought that was going to be the next coming of money for Kenosha when they built the dog track.
Well, I mean, and of course it would be, but Walker, you know, I guess there's some religious beliefs and some other things, and he stayed against it. And of course, there's still obviously Potawatomi still in Milwaukee, but now he would not let him move another one to Kenosha, which obviously I would love. I'd be there, you know, a couple times a week. But at the end of the day, and of course, you realize that you know, how many people from Illinois would be there, because obviously we know how everybody likes to be a little action. But, I mean, sure, he's a fine guy, and I'm sure there's nothing wrong with him. And, you know, obviously you have to make – it's very hard to balance, you know, who you're going to piss off and who you're not going to piss off. So you always try to walk the tightrope. What happened to Christie, in your opinion?
Well, you know, he had a lot of controversy. First of all, he made a political mistake when he sided with Obama during Hurricane Sandy and said that he was doing a good job. Actually, I like that because Obama did do a good job. Obama is definitely not going to be one of my favorite presidents. And obviously, I don't like most of his positions. But I thought in Hurricane Sandy, the federal government did do a good job. And I thought Christie was right. I thought Christie was right to compliment him. How can you look at something, it's just a complete fact, and then turn around and say, well, it's because my political opponent, I'm just going to bury it. I don't agree with that. You know me. And that particular case, that hurt him. Then we had Bridgegate, in which one of his subordinates closed down one of the lanes into the George Washington Bridge coming from New Jersey to New York. Now, I've been in that before. You've been there. So, you know, he just wanted to piss off his opponent, who was a Democrat. And he just, you know, went over his power. They've done numerous studies, and all of them say the same thing. Christie was totally unaware of what happened, but he still got tainted by that. And I think that some of his brashness, some of his in your face and I'll do this and do that, I think it hurt him after those things. I really do think it hurt
him. So in your opinion, is he dead?
No, I think he can make a comeback.
I mean, obviously it's a long time. We're still, what are we, 16 months out?
Yeah, like, no, 14 years, actually. It's 16 months, all right? Yeah, all right. When I'm talking about that, in Great Britain, you know, the campaigning period is limited to 8 weeks, which is the way it should be, but it's not going to happen here. Too much money. I don't think he's eliminated. I think he could come from far back, as they say in horse racing. I think some of the candidates have no chance. Ted Cruz, absolutely no chance. You know, he's religious right wing. He is no chance. He's Tea Party, and his ideas are just, you know, they're off the wall, in my opinion. They're just as bad as the socialist, except they're the opposite extreme. That's not going to work. Ben Carson is a big long shot. You know, very competent doctor, good businessman, would probably be good.
Any chance that Romney makes a run at it again?
No, there's no chance. Okay. He's not going to run. Categorically stated it, there's no way they're going to get him on. He's listed at 500-1. There's no way. I mean, Michelle Obama is listed as a better shot than him. George Clooney is a better shot than him. Michael Bloomberg, Donald Trump, Condoleezza Rice, they're all better shots. It's not going to happen. I don't know. I'm not sure who the Republicans could run. They have to run somebody that can, and this is my opinion. Of course, this isn't fact, because what we're doing here is we're talking over the politics. I think that Rubio has the best chance, and I think he could get the Hispanic vote, and I think that would be a mistake. Or the Republicans have got to find somebody that's a minority candidate.
What about Paul Ryan?
Possible.
I mean, he did a pretty good job when he was running with Romney. I mean, he did a pretty, you know, I thought he represented himself pretty well.
Yeah, but I you know, he's a long shot, Bobby. He's 60-1.
I know.
But the
handle's pretty small here, too. I mean, this wouldn't be the ideal sample size, right? I mean, the handle's only 41,000 on this side, so it's not like it's...
No, it's small, and it's going to stay small. But if you go to the other bookmakers, they have similar odds. So what they do is, for people that don't know, what they usually do is check what's at Betfair, because that's public betting. That's like a market.
Right.
And they stick their book, and then they make their book so that they have their edge. I think there's a lot of candidates. Bush may end up running. I don't know that he's electable. I think that he's going to wear the scar of ISIS and the mess that happened when we invaded Iraq. We've talked about this many times. Personally, my own candidate that I think could be elected is Rubio.
Okay. I mean, I don't doubt it. I mean, obviously, you know, anytime you get, you know, a big following, and he could certainly get that vote, would be reasonable to understand.
Well, he's going to get the Hispanic vote, and he's a very accomplished guy. There's no scandal in his background. You know, some ladies of the night are not going to show up, or some other scandal. That's not going to happen to him. So I think he's in pretty good shape. He makes a really good candidate. Now, he's been moving up gradually. And as I said, he's second choice right now. We're really not in the season yet. You know, they got to come up, and where do they start the caucuses and all that nonsense? That starts when? This is all the run up to next winter, right?
Right. I think don't they start like in, actually I'll look it up, but I think it's in like November, right? Or October. I mean, it's like a year, almost a year before.
Okay. I thought the caucuses started in the winter for some reason, because I always remember the candidates walking around in New Hampshire. In Iowa. It's always snow. So I think they start right after the first of the year, but I could be wrong.
That might be March. I don't, you know, but listen, what can I tell you? That would not be in my number one level of knowing when that would be, but yeah, certainly, we'll find out. But, it is always cold, but of course November is cold too, but I was always, February 2nd. There. Okay. Groundhog Day.
There you go, right there. Just like the movie, it'll happen over and over again. And actually, it will happen over and over again. You know, we're going to have to hear the same. Can you imagine if you were a reporter covering these guys for 10, 11, 12 months?
No, I'd probably have a lot of trouble. I'd probably be looking for a noose. I can't listen to them for 5 minutes, let alone have to cover. I mean, you know, but I can't stand, and of course, I said this about Obama. When he got elected, again, I don't take away from his intelligence. I never was critical about how smart he is, you know, as far as just regular intelligence. But I said at the beginning that he was a carny huckster, because all he is he's a wonderful speaker.
Great speaker.
And he can deliver a message, but that's it. And that's what he was, that's what he is, and that's what he will always go down, and he will, for him, he will go down as the worst president of all time. And I don't think, the truth is I don't think the backlash of how bad he is going to be out. He'll be dead long before they really realize how bad he is. Just like, and we don't have a lot of time to talk about this, but I think it'll go down in history. You'll find out that Nixon was probably a pretty good president, even though we had some of the issues that went on. But I think you'll find out that he was a pretty good president when it comes down to it.
I think Nixon did a lot of good things. Unfortunately, his moral character sunk.
Well, you know, there's a lot of guys. We can talk about that another day. This is the Bubba Show. Make sure you check out the Bubba Report. The new one's coming out. And again, it's a great read. You've got the Badger writes for it. You've got My Proprietary Indexes. You've got Bonnie Pittenger on real estate. Scott Schlady from the CME. Keith Bliss from the New York Stock Exchange, Mike Brown, financial planner. I mean, we cover it all for you, and we want to make sure that you really get a great feel for what's going on. $99 a year for at least 12 issues, and I encourage you, we're getting a great demand, and I think you'll love it and enjoy it. Anyways, everybody have a great day. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.